Hi, I'm Daisy.
And I'm Domina.
And we're both A Block boarders here at the Dragon School. Today, we're in one of the Dragon Science Labs to share our brum break with Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson is the longest running staff member at the school. He's been teaching here at the Dragon since 1966, both as a science teacher and a science technician.
In this episode of Bum Break With, we ask him some questions about his time at the Dragon and the changes he's seen. Hello, Mr. Wilson.
Good morning.
So, Mr. Wilson, you've worked here at the Dragon for 54 years. That's a really long time. What do you like about working here?
I thought about this, and I thought there are so many answers to this particular question. It's a jolly good question. It's a very sensible question, but quite honestly, the answers to it are unlimited. I could spend the next 15 minutes to you explaining to you why I've taught here for so long. I mean, there are, to start with, the children that one has been teaching for a lot of my career here, who've all been, almost without exception, and it would be silly to say that it was without exception, good fun children. You can have a conversation with them, you can have a laugh and a joke with them, but you can also get them to work properly in the classroom, so that academically they're making the best of what they're capable of. Mm-hmm. I mean, the staff here are almost without exception very talented people, very intelligent people, very committed to the school, very committed to the children. They want to do the best for them and so on. And I love that characteristic in any person you meet who's got that sort of desire to do the very best. And I think finally, I would say, generally speaking, the parents that one's come across, I've enjoyed their company too. And so because you've got this whole system, you've got the whole fact that you've got the children, you've got the staff, you've got the parents, all basically working in the same direction, that it's no surprise that somebody like myself has worked here for that length of time. It's not any one thing, it's a series of things. And in fact, I'll tell you one other too. As I was walking across to breakfast this morning, the mist rising up off the grass,
yeah,
and the sun coming up in the distance. Now I walk across to breakfast and there's this most beautiful scene. And there was no noise out there at 8 o'clock and you hadn't come out of breakfast. And so it's difficult to answer the question in a very simple way. There are so many factors that make this such an attractive place to be involved in teaching.
And since starting at the Dragon in September of 1966, you must have seen so many changes. What are the biggest differences that you've seen?
The biggest, without a shadow of doubt, has been the increase in the percentage of girls in the school.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be absolutely honest with you, because I was involved very early on with the person, lady who really was instrumental in increasing the number of girls, particularly girl boarders, was a lady called Antonia Cooper. And she, I know very well, because she is godmother to one of my daughters. And I fought her because I said, no, you're wrong, because the Dragon School is boys, you know. And mm-hmm. I had my own two daughters educated here, because the daughters of staff, or indeed of brothers who were already here, then those girls could come. But, I mean, usually it meant there were 3, 4, 5, half a dozen girls at best.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, that didn't really work. It worked quite well for my two, because they were very bright and both in the top streams and top sets.
Mm-hmm.
And at that level, I think it did work. But then lower down, when the girls struggled a bit, it just didn't seem to harmonise quite. And Antonia Cooper, this lady who was, well, we used to have battles galore. I said, no, no, no. In the end, she won, as women tend to do. She won, and therefore girls came in, boarding house and so on, all the rest of it. And I have to say to you, it's been the greatest thing the Dragon ever did, without a shadow of doubt. You girls have produced so much, not necessarily your own direct influences, but the influences that you've had on the boys. If you've got girls in your class, then the girls, funnily enough, stabilise the boys, make the boys much more sensible. They're not quite so stupid for some other reason. And girls, as you know, as you get on, you girls mature much more quickly than the boys. And it's a terrible thing for me to be saying. I say it through gritted teeth. But unfortunately, it is the fact that you girls do mature more quickly. And therefore, that maturity has gone through into the school. So we are, in essence, a much better school for the boarders having come. Now, I mean, as regards anything else, I mean, there are so many changes, really. There are changes, inevitably, there are changes in the attitude. It's a much more civilised attitude. When it was all boys, it was an absolute mayhem. But at the same time, you haven't lost from this school. The very important characteristic was the characteristic of independence. And so the presence of the girls has changed the atmosphere, the whole atmosphere of the school. I think it's marvellous. And I'm the first to put up my hand and say I was, and I've spoken to Antonia subsequently, and I've said I was wrong. There's no question, I was 100% wrong.
So do you remember Cherwell turning from a boy's house to a girl's house?
Yes, I do remember it well. And I can only re-emphasise what I've said just now, is that you girls have a very civilising... And it was interesting to see the difference, because we did have girls here, but the girls that we had here, rather like my two daughters as to start with, were day girls, were not boarders. And suddenly we have girl boarders, which was, it is quite a different concept. I loved having girls in my teaching sets anyway. I remember well, I had two fantastic girls. I used to take the second stream down. And in those days, your mum will tell you about it because she was in there. She was in sort of middle two. I took middle two, one period of classics a day. I'm not a classicist, but because to get into Oxford University, you had to read Latin O-level, so I'd got an O-level in Latin. Yeah. And the girls that I had in my form were two girls. Now, one of them you won't have heard of at all, a girl called Maureen Wilk, but she was a fantastically fiery girl. She was scruffy, said what she thought, was pretty rude, but nevertheless was very good fun and very bright. And the other one was one that you should have heard of, a girl called Cressida Dick, commissioner of the Metropolitan Police Force, which is pretty good news because I think she's the first female to be. It's like being the boss of the Metropolitan Police in London. And she was a very bright girl. She also went to Oxford. But was a much more organised girl than Maureen. But they were great friends. They were very great friends.
But what are there any more memories that you have of girls in your classroom?
Oh, yes, in my classroom. Well, as I've just expressed, there's a couple. And all my comments about the girls that I had in my form in particular, because I took the second stream down. We were streamed at that stage in the early days. No longer that's not the case anymore. And so I had the second best stream in the C block. And without question, the girls at that level who were always bright, always pretty organised, and were just good fun. You know, we're just like you two. You smile. The great thing is that you're prepared to think that not every single thing in the world is desperately serious. In that, yes, you can have a laugh and a joke. And they were like that. They were enormously good fun. So, as I can say, and also from a teaching point of view, girls, I've always found much, much easier to teach.
Yeah. So what's your favourite thing about working as part of the Dragon Science Department?
I've always been interested in science. My A-levels were pure mass and biomass physics and chemistry. So I've always really been a scientist at heart. To be teaching Latin for a period a day was very much unusual for me to be seen doing that. But nevertheless, I did it. And so I'm a scientist. I love science. I love everything about it. I love the idea that you know, you're given by your various members of staff, you're given experiments to do. Because what you're doing is you're not just having somebody say to you, oh, when, I'm just looking at the diagram on the board there, when water vapor cools and cools down, it'll turn it back into water.
Yeah.
So you've got a series, this is the water cycle thing. And there you are, you've seen it. Now, it's not just a question of the teacher saying, well, when you heat water up and it condenses, it'll comes back into water again, which is fair enough, it does. Mm. But nevertheless, here's an experiment that proves to you that that's what happens. Mm. And so from a scientific point of view, I've always liked that, which makes me, as my wife would tell you, a bit of a pedant at home, is that periodically I will hear some idiot on the television saying something that is just not true. I'm afraid, my old fruit, that is not true. But they say it because they think it's true, but they've never had to do an experiment to prove it otherwise. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the experimenting is absolutely critical to it all, really. I love the experiments.
If you weren't a science teacher or a science technician at the Dragon, what would you do?
Well, I'm absolutely certain I know what I'd be doing. When you're at senior school and you're just trying to get into university, I would have read anything, and I came up to read geology. However, after reading geology for about just over a year, year and a half or something, it wasn't really me. And I knew at that stage that what I really wanted to do was to read law.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the senior tutor, which is the man who decides those things, and I saw him, and I said, look, Mr. Gullick, sir, I've had enough of geology, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. It's not the tutor's fault. It's just that I don't think I'm right. It's right with me. And I want to become a lawyer. And he looked at me with very calculating eyes. And he said, Mr. Wilson, from what your tutors say, you're going to be very lucky to get a degree in geology, let alone changing your course now at reading law. So he said, I cannot suggest that you change your course, which was a huge pity. And funnily enough, my daughter, who also went to Oxford, and she's a lawyer. She worked for a London law firm.
So what one word sums up the Dragon for you?
To do it in one word is quite difficult, but I'm going to have a go at it, and I'm going to suggest that the one word which for me sums up the Dragon and the children here is independence. I love that it's an independence, that we encourage the idea that you pursue whatever it is that is really of major interest to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you have that, just go for it. Mm-hmm. And you know, you haven't got people who say, right, okay, here, who say, right, no, right, you've got to put more time into this, steer you in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
There's an independence.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is... So I would use the word, it was something one word, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Use one word, I will say independence.
Mm-hmm.
And thought and mind.
Yeah, and we know that you have two children, and what do you think were their best achievements at the Dragon?
Well, they were both top streamers, so they're both pretty bright. Catherine Jane, which is the elder of the two, was always much more disciplined than Susie, the young one. Susie rode horses and thought that was much more fun than doing any work. We could never really sort of get Susie quite as motivated as Catherine. Mm-hmm. Catherine got a scholarship, academic scholarship, to Millfield, and hated it. But I will say that having gone down and spoken to her tutors down there, that they were exceptional, really exceptional. Mm-hmm. And so she had a fantastic, whatever it was now, four years, because she left at post-GCSE. Mm-hmm. Then she went to Teddy's. Mm-hmm. Now, Susie, went to the high school. Mm-hmm. She really should have got an Oxbridge place, but she didn't. She couldn't get away from the damned horses. Susie, lots of time for her. She has just moved into an absolute palatial mansion on Friday, in fact, because she had the very good sense, if nothing else, and here's the advice for you girls, you can be as idle as you like, as idle as my daughter. She went to Edinburgh University, in fact, and loved it, met lots of very nice people there, and married, had the very good sense to marry an investment banker at J.P. Morgan. Oh. And so she's just moved into this fantastic house.
So what do you think your favourite play you've seen performed at the Dragon?
Do you know, I love this question. I absolutely love this question, because it did make me think quite a lot about things. And the answer I came up with, which you're probably... Although your mum, you mention it to your mum when you get home. Okay, was the Mikado. Now, the Mikado is a piece of Gilbert and Sullivan. And Gilbert and Sullivan, it actually had a tradition at the Dragon when I was first here, in that every summer or every Easter, can't remember which it was now, they had a Gilbert and Sullivan production. Because it had become a sort of tradition with the school, and it didn't change until a little bit later when all sorts of things were done. But because they did it every year, they almost had a sort of competitive edge to make sure that this year it's going to be better than last year. And therefore the standard of the production, the music was brilliant, the sets were brilliant, the delivery, the singing. I don't know whether you know the Mikado, do you?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, go and have a crack at it at some stage. Don't get too hooked on it, but they're wonderful. They were composed by a man called Arthur Sullivan, who was master of the Queen's music at one stage, but clearly at the time was one of the foremost composers in Britain, certainly. Mm-hmm. And his librettist was R.S. Gilbert, who was who wrote funny things.
Yeah.
I don't know whether do you know a television program called Yes, Prime Minister? They showed a couple of they showed a couple of things quite recently, a sort of old hat thing, and they had this wonderful ability to take the Mickey out of the foremost political figures of the time. And the Mikado scripts were just so funny, so funny. And the music, Arthur Sullivan, was absolutely lovely. So you had this combination of wonderful scripts, wonderful music, lovely sets. And of course, every year there was another production which was trying to be better than the one before, basically.
So my favourite subject is drama.
And mine is art.
So what was your favourite subject when you were at school?
Well, at school there was no question of maths. I took the maths scholarship at Oxford and loved doing maths. And to such a degree that at school I can well remember when you were in the scholarship class doing these maths problems, which were pretty difficult, and would take a whole page minimum, and often more than one page, two pages of the thing. And when you get to the end of the maths problem and you've got the answer, I found it was disappointing. It was disappointing because that was a beautiful problem. And I never be able to do it again, because once you've done it once, you know how to do it, and therefore it's not the same. So I had a sadness when I completed a problem and couldn't wait to get on to the next problem. So maths, really. But interestingly, recently I've taken to history in a big way, because it's a subject I hated at school.
And this is quite a funny one. What is your secret talent?
I don't have a secret talent. Perhaps I do. I don't know. I think that's up perhaps to other people to say. But certainly from working here, and indeed from engaging in this conversation here this morning, I think one of my secret talents is that I hugely enjoy talking to people like you who are dragons. And I find that whether that's at tea, at lunch, at supper, or whatever the hell it is, I love talking to you, even in the playground. You know, some people come up to me and have a chat, and I love that. I think it's fantastic. Now, whether that's of any value to answering your question or not, I don't know.
So what three words would young dragons use to describe me?
Three words?
Yeah.
So am I having to include in one of those three words either the indefinite or the definite article? So as the rules and regulations. So if you want three words to... What am I? I think I would like to think, let's put it that way, I'd like to think that dragons will remember me as a sporting scientist. Okay.
And to end with a science pop quiz, what is the third most common gas in the Earth's atmosphere after nitrogen and oxygen?
Yeah, that's quite a clever one, isn't it, really? Because there isn't much else. There are a lot of other gases in the atmosphere. I think the one that is the most common of those is argon.
Correct.
Argon, and but then, I mean, you've then got all these inert gases, neon, krypton, xenon, and indeed you've got CO2 and you've got water vapor, and all sorts of things in the atmosphere. Really.
Argon was correct.
Oh, was it? Okay. Hooray!
Thank you so much for sharing your bomb break with us today, Mr. Wilson, and answering our questions about your time with the dragon.
I'll tell you, it's been enormously good fun, girls. It really has been massively good fun. So thank you very much indeed.